Hey, this is Sully in Washington, D.C., and I am on the phone for Wiretap Wednesday on the podcast with Asian community activist Christian O. Sir?
Thank you. I appreciate being on the show, Sully.
Thank you so
Yeah, my
much.
name is Christian Oh, and I've been a, I guess a major person that's been involved with the Asian American community here in the DC, Maryland, and Virginia, or the DMV area. And I'm very excited to be on this podcast. Thanks.
Thank you so much. And a lot of people might not know how big the Asian community is here in DC, but we have all the vast sections of Asia represented from all the way from Annandale to Ellicott City.
No, you're absolutely correct. It's amazing the diversity here, where we have pockets of Vietnamese, like let's say Vietnamese community out in Falls Church, the Korean community out in Annandale and Chantilly and Ellicott City. You've got one of the highest Mongolian communities outside of Mongolia here
Wow.
in the in Virginia area. As well as you can't forget about the Filipinos, the Filipinos, the Thai, the South Asians. We also have what I call our Northern Asians, which are people, the Asian ethnic backgrounds from the stands, like Tajikistan, Kazakhstan.
Right.
There's a lot of that, there's a lot of them here as well. So we have a great mix of Asian ethnic populations here in the DC area.
You know, I'm married into a Filipino family, and so
Right.
I do notice my wife always takes me out to the Korean places here, and then whenever we go shopping, we wind up going to a Korean store, whether it's H Mart, Grand Mart, Lotte Plaza.
Right.
They're all Korean run, and I told her there's Filipino restaurants around here too, and there's a really big Filipino community, but I said, hey, why isn't there SM Plaza here? The Filipinos outnumber Koreans 2 to 1, and yet, like, somehow it's all the Koreans just lock down like organized shopping. It's
Right. I've been to Manila and I'm amazed too why someone needs to create like a Filipino plaza or
yeah.
something here.
SM Plaza is the big mall there. You know what, SM, if you're listening
Yeah.
to this, steal this idea. We come to the DC area. We need you.
Exactly. We need a Jollibee here too.
Oh my gosh, yes. You know the nearest one is in Norfolk. This is
I thought someone told me there's one in Richmond. I wasn't sure if that's definite or not,
Oh
but
wow. I'll have to check that in there. Well, this
that
might
would
be
be cool.
breaking
Yeah,
news.
no.
Breaking news, Jollibee in Richmond.
Actually, I'm gonna check right now online to see if that's true because I would love next time I'm in Richmond, I'm gonna go check it out.
Amen.
But
Yeah.
yeah, I mean I agree with you. I think there needs to be a Filipino plaza here
Yes.
somewhere. That'd be cool.
There are some great ones. I'm gonna forward you on information, and for no reason, except that she is a amazing pillar of
Oh,
food in Arlington,
sorry to
Binoan.
interrupt. No, sorry to interrupt, but it says there's one in Virginia Beach, so pretty close
Yes.
to Richmond. So it's not
Yes.
in Richmond, it's in Virginia Beach.
Okay. Good. It's a good jog. I've definitely been to that one with my wife there. But if you want some good Filipino food, not the good Jollibee fast food, but like more legit Filipino food.
Like pancit and lumpia and
Yeah,
sisig.
well, and you know, you can even the ensaymada is my favorite. I can't have it now on my
It's
diet,
powerful. Yeah.
but if you want the best Filipino baked goods is Chef Bunuan's shop. She's got a little shop in Northern Virginia. I'll definitely have to post her info in the
Awesome.
podcast, but she's got a little shop. She's only open for like 4 hours a day. it's magical though. When you go in there, she's always got food that she's made. She'll come out. She's got all sorts of plaques all over the wall, of stuff that she's done, awards that she's won. She's, like I said, incredibly accomplished chef. Totally worth checking out her shop. And it's called Philippine Oriental Market, on Lee Highway in Cherrydale, Virginia. I will definitely post her info and forward it on to you because she's cool. worth checking out. Now you've met me in person. You know how fat I am. I could talk about food all this entire thing. Did you mention the Uyghurs? There's a Uyghur population here too.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Yes.
I didn't mention that, but yes, I am aware.
Yes. If you want to be more involved with them, they have an amazing restaurant in Pentagon or Crystal City that I literally force them to give me a bunch of their business cards every time I go there because I advertise for them. I love that restaurant so much. I didn't realize that halal Chinese food was a thing. It is now my favorite food on the planet. Queen Amanisa as well. I'm going to buy you some food there. It's a date. We're going to Queen Amanisa. All right. The DC Asian Pacific Islander Film Festival.
Asian Pacific American Film Festival.
Asian Pacific American. DC Asian Pacific American Film Festival.
We just celebrated our 17th year. It was May 19th through the 21st, so we wrapped up our closing night this past Sunday. And we showcased a lot of different films from pretty much all over the world. We had someone who submitted films from China as well as from Iran, because we consider Persia as part of Asia. We had a film from Myanmar, and these were a lot of short films. Mm. We also had feature-length films from India. We cover the whole gamut. We really want to make sure that we provide what I call perspectives from both Asian and Asian American stories. I can't say I have a favorite because I like them all. It's like, do you have a favorite child? Yeah, maybe in secret, but you know, I love them all. There was one film, a couple films actually, that spoke to me because I am Korean American. So there were one was called Han by Earl Kim. It was a short film dealing with loss. And I thought that was a beautifully shot film. We had some local filmmakers as well. Tree Lee, he's a Vietnamese American. He shot a small documentary about how B-boys in Vietnam, a particular crew called the Freestyle Crew, had history with them. And thus he sort of documented their progression, how they've grown over the years. There's also something we do called Script to Screen. It's a screenwriting competition, and we're still accepting submissions. If you're Asian American, you've got a short film script, you can submit it to zhibo@apafilm.org, and Zhibo spelled zhibo@apafilm.org. And if you win, if you're selected to win, we actually produce the short film for you. Our organization provides the funding, the resources, the film, and the productions for you to actually have the film created. So that's a opportunity for budding filmmakers to bring their vision to fruition.
That's a really cool opportunity.
It's a great opportunity. So we also had a lot of short films, animated short films as well. So if you're an animator, we typically hold our submission processes at the end of the year. So for example, for 2018, we'll probably start our submission process in December, and then we end it by end of March or beginning of April, then we do our deliberations and then we announce our lineup for the May, because May is Asian Heritage Month, as you know, and we sort of showcase our films during that month. So
awesome. So what, were there any local filmmakers at the APA?
Well, I mentioned one, Tree Lee, and then we had a filmmaker. He's really the director of the an Asian American mentoring, a youth mentoring organization, and he had a POV short film that basically talked about their mission to support low income and undeserved Asian Pacific American youth with educational empowerment, identity development, and leadership opportunities through after-school, summer, and mentoring programs. And again, that name of the organization is Asian American LEAD, AA LEAD. And LEAD stands for Leadership Empowerment and Development. Neil Saxena, that was the director. He's the director of the organization, but he directed this short film to give that point of view, POV, or that youth perspective. So he was a local. The Script to Screen contest winner, last year's winner of that script contest, we had created the film. Her name was Ileana Espiritu, who won the contest last year, and we created that locally and was able to show that. So yeah, those were our probably our most highlighted local filmmakers. And then we had filmmakers from New York, LA, all over the country, Chicago, that came to our film festival. We had about 12 to 14 filmmakers come into our festival to talk about their films and answer Q&As after it. So it was, like I said, it was really, we love the fact that we do a lot of showcasing and collaborating with these filmmakers so that we're able to provide a channel that normally you would never be able to see these films in the theaters or even on YouTube. I mean, in Iran and in some parts of the Asian world, some films are banned or censored. Mm-hmm. And for us to be able to show those films here was a huge honor. So,
you know, it is one of the censorship is something you don't think about a lot of times, you know, and when I think of Thailand,
we live in America,
I think
censorship is pretty, you know, we're pretty free here. It's, I mean, getting within reason, but
yeah,
you know,
you think about like Thailand and that, you know, you think, right. Oh, I think of Thailand, of course, you know, back to the joke about, you know, being a fat guy and everything's about food. I was like, oh yeah, Thailand, that's an awesome place. You know, you think of all the food from there, but you forget like, wow, it's,
I don't blame you.
It's,
I don't blame you.
It is.
Food too,
so. What was that?
I said, I don't blame you. Cause I love food. I'm a foodie as well. And you know, let's be honest, Asian food is just amazing. Like, there's so much diversity, flavor, spice levels. I just love Asian food.
Yeah.
And that's not because I'm not speaking clearly as a biased Asian person, but I just love Asian food. So.
No, it's and it's incredible. And there's such diversity of the food. And if you can't find something that you like in the amazing array of Asian food, especially just in this area, there's got to be something wrong with you, because there's just such amazing diversity. But yeah, like, you don't think about, until you really look at things through the activist eyes, you don't think about the fact that, like, the Uyghur community that I mentioned, like, they're expressing their culture through their food, but there's parts of China where they can't express their culture because, you know, it goes against the People's Republic views in this part and that part, and there's a huge struggle. Similarly with Thailand, there's incredible censorship on media because you can't even like mention the royalty and stuff, like, you know, amazing strict laws that are heartbreaking. And and yeah, it's really cool to see some of these artwork. I'm personally very much into Persian film and that too. I like that you mentioned that.
No, Yeah, you would have loved the Iranian film that we showed called Moi by a woman named Sarah Sohaili. And she's also a famous actress in Iran as well. But going back to the Uyghurs, I mean, a lot of times people don't even know what a Uyghur is. I think just to clarify for those joining your podcast for the first time, a Uyghur is a minority ethnic group in China, which is predominantly Muslim. And they have been persecuted against. They have been sort of ostracized at times. Some of the origins of that group are Turkish in nature, and they live in Eastern and Central Asia. So people don't realize that the Uyghurs were that Muslim population that was sort of incorporated in the, I think it was like late 1800s, early 1900s. I could be wrong on the history, but their culture is very much a little di well, very much distinctive from Chinese, the Chinese culture, and people don't realize. And they also have their own food and everything. It's if you don't know about it, you should definitely look more into Uyghur origins and Uyghur history. That and Uyghur, I think it's spelled, gosh, I always forget how it's spelled. I think it's Uyghur, I think. I could be wrong, but it's pronounced Uyghur, and people are like, "What's a Uyghur?"
Yeah, they think
But
it's
there
spelled
are
like
an ethnic
Weezer, but with
group.
a G.
Yeah, like Weezer, you're right. Like the music group Weezer with a G. In any event, I guess what I'm trying to get at, Sully, is that we have to realize that Asians were not like the Hispanics, where we share the same language. We're not like African Americans or Jewish Americans, where we share the same, what's the word, historical suffrage. We are very, very different in language, and even within, our cultures that separate us. But Americans, or let's just say those non-Asians, a lot of times we get grouped together that Asians like Chinese and Koreans are the same, but we're not the same, or that Vietnamese and Japanese are the same. There's definitely differences. And I think a lot of times Hollywood, the media, journalists, politicians, they lump us all together, and Asian Americans are different from Asian Pacific Islanders, or even Pacific Islanders. There are Pacific Islanders that aren't inherently Asian, but they're grouped all together. So again, people have to learn the differences. And I think that's why I'm so passionate about the film festival and being involved in the Asian American community as an advocate and a activist, is to say, hey, people outside of the choir, meaning Asians sort of get it, but there are non-Asians that don't understand it, and we need to be making sure they have a better comprehension of what those differences are, that we're not the same. So, sorry, I didn't mean to soapbox there, but
No,
that's.
that's why I got you on. I mean, I think it's a very interesting, sort of a juxtaposition. The thought of
Yes.
being an activist in the Asian Pacific, I'm sorry, the Asian American community, but not for a blanket concept of Asian, but instead for the individual people to be looked at as individuals, not as just Asian. Right, and
I mean, there is something to be said that we should be sort of unified under an umbrella, but the problem is we, because of our differences, we're not necessarily able to work, what I would say, so easily together. I mean, like I said, Chinese is not Japanese, Japanese is not Korean, and definitely not Filipino. So we have our own idiosyncrasies and nuances that we need to sort of, clarify. Thus, maybe in that sense, we can band together and we can work together. I mean, especially in politics, if there's a Korean American politician, does that necessarily mean Chinese Americans will support that Korean-American politician? Not necessarily, but I think as second and third generation Asian Americans, I think we're understanding the value of supporting our fellow Asian American politicians. So, and I think more of that needs to happen. Same thing goes for entertainment and sports. I mean, we need more Jeremy Lins. We need more John Cho's. We need more Constant Wu's out there to help get us, you know, into more of a collusion and more cooperation amongst Asian Americans. So.
Well, I met you through an Asian American collective who bound together over an Asian exclusive name and some really awesome music, the band The Slants. We met at Electric Maid.
Yes.
Now, you've known The Slants for years, right?
I've known them since they first started at a anime convention, which was so funny because here's a group that doesn't even sing in Japanese, and yet they were trying to sort of open their demographics or open their audience to a very well established convention audience, which is anime conventions, and they're trying to promote their music. So yeah, I got to meet them at an anime convention, and then I had also been doing an Asian American talent competition called Collaboration with a K, and I was trying to find more Asian American performers, whether they be on YouTube or at various competitions, whether it be like shows like American Idol or The Voice or So You Think You Can Dance. Anytime I saw an Asian American performer, I wanted to find out more about them and see if there was a way that we could promote and put them out there. And through collaboration, that's what I did. And I was able to meet a performer and rapper. Her name is Hee Sun Lee, who is a Korean American adoptee who was raised by, I think, second or third generation Chinese American parents in Staten Island. And she's a wife, she's a mother of two daughters, and she's a rapper. And she's a very skilled, amazing rapper. She's been doing it for about 8 years. And I think it's like amazing how the YouTube generation, there's ways to get yourself out there and whatever I can do to help support that. And now I'm managing Hee Sun as a artist, and I manage a couple other artists, but if you want to find out more about her, check her out at www.heesunleemusic.com. And Heesun spelled Heesunlee, music.com. So.
Awesome. Yeah, I saw her on your Instagram. And you know what? I might not be hip to the lingo, but I believe she drops mad bars. I think that's...
Yes, she does.
Yes. Okay.
Very good. Very good.
So, awesome. So I can't wait to check out Hee Sun Lee's. And that's heesunleemusic.com, right?
That's correct.
HEESUNLEEMUSIC.com. And yeah, she's pretty incredible. Very strong woman. I was about to say, would you call her a positive role model? Absolutely.
Yes, especially for girls and women, because there's not a lot of, the hip hop industry or the rap industry is hard enough for women, because a lot of times there's a, what I call a sexualization or a misogynistic perspective when it comes to hip hop. I think that Hee Sun is a departure from that, strong female role model. She also, her tagline is breaking stereotypes, because, you know, how often do you see a mother of two, wife of an NYPD officer, perform rap?
Nice.
You know, so she really wants to, you know, promote that message of breaking stereotypes and say, hey, you know, follow your passions, follow your artistic pursuits. So
I like that. I like that a lot. I think we've covered a lot. You've got there's a K-pop event coming up.
There's a bunch of different events that, because you had asked me if I'm a if I'm an event coordinator or planner. I'm somewhat of an event enabler, I think is the best definition for me. So there is several different events happening. I don't know if you know this, but within the Maryland, D.C., Virginia area, there are over 65 film festivals that happen. One is the GI Film Festival happens starting tomorrow.
Now, are you involved with that?
No, not directly, but we help promote a lot of these. There's also an artist showcase on Thursday called Raw Artists at the Howard Theater. Again, that's not specifically Asian American, but there, you know, it's all about local creatives and performers. But the K-pop event that you're referring to is not until June. What's the date? I believe it's June 24th. June 24th at Eden Lounge.
Oh, I love Kiddo. Eden Center.
Yeah, Eden Lounge. So Kiddo is a former member of a K-pop boy band. He has a U.S. tour, and he'll be in D.C. Saturday, June 24th at 9:30 p.m. There's also July 22nd, if you're down in the Richmond area, they're doing a Hallyu Doing Expo. It's like a mini Korean K-pop convention that they're doing. There's and I also love, I mean, the nerd comes out at me. I mean, we've got AwesomeCon coming up. You've got NovaCon happening in July at the Ritz-Carlton. You've got BlurredCon. You've got a lot of these conventions that are happening. If people are interested in music video games, comics, anime, there's a lot of this stuff happening.
Awesome.
In the next couple of months. So definitely check it out. If you want more information, feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn or on Facebook, and I'll be happy to connect you to all these events. I mean, like Otakon and Super Smash Con are happening in August. But again, my name is Christian, first name, last name OH, very easy to find me, and very easy to spell. So, and then Sully, I really appreciate you having me on your podcast today, and we definitely have some rendezvous happening in the future.
Yes,
so you're gonna take me out to that bakery and some other food.
Yes.
Foodie things.
Yeah, we're definitely getting some Uyghur food together. That's for sure.
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you so much, brother.
I appreciate it. Thank you. You guys have a great rest of the week, and then finish up Asian Heritage Month strong, and happy Memorial Day weekend.
Amen. Hua. Thank you, brother.
All right.
Bye.